listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting, for live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Do gonna turn to next? Tell me. You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, young. You gotta learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Peace, family. Hotep. Hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're having a beautiful day. I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, need to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather is accommodating for you to do, but if it isn't, that's right, brothers and sisters, get it done, because that's the thing to do. Don't procrastinate. Don't put it off. Get it done. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen live, then you can go to our archives. Simply go to timeforanawakening.com. Scroll down till you see the red, black, and green lion with Africa imposed. Click on, and then you'll be directed to the previously recorded programs that are dated and titled. And so you can check out previous recorded programs of African Perspectives. And, of course, you can always join us here on the live program by dialing 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832, and you can give us your African perspective. Other programs here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays, Monday evening, all times I'm going to give are Eastern times. On Monday, Acres of Diamonds, public affair programming here in Philadelphia, there in Philadelphia from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Right after public affairs programming, Acres of Diamonds, Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 p.m. to 9. On Tuesdays, last night, great show, Dr. Rogers, Black Reality Think Tank with your host, Dr. William Rogers, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern. Tonight, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, it's Sister POC with her program, Revive. Friday, if it's 8 p.m. and it's Friday, it's time for an awakening. That's right, brothers and sisters. Time for an awakening with your host, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard, 8 p.m. until on Friday. Saturday morning, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore. And then Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., that's right, it is not me. It is Sister POC with her program, Revive. Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness. Sunday evening, 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And once again, the phone number to call for every one of those programs I just mentioned is 215-490-9832. And you can join the conversation right here on Time for an Awakening Media. Us Lifting Us, their program is tomorrow. Us Lifting Us, they still have a radio program on Blog Talk. And the number to call for Us Lifting Us is 929-477-2789. And that program is at 9 from 9 o'clock, 9 o'clock p.m. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. You also can visit the Cafe Ulu, Us Lifting Us, Cafe Ulu, which is here in Atlanta, 2036 Sylvan Road in Sylvan Plaza. The hours are Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we specialize in coffee. We have coffee from Cameroon, Tanzania, Kenya, Ethiopia, Brazil, Uganda, and Panama. We have loose teas that are packaged locally in Atlanta. In fact, everything is that it is done at Cafe Ulu is done by us, and as it should be, as it should be. If you want to visit the website, go to CAFEULU.com, Cafe Ulu, CAFEULU.com. Also, check out the website for Us Lifting Us, usliftingus.com. WeBuyBlack.com. Check out, get everything you need from American African owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com, the largest online market for American African owned businesses. They have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall here in Atlanta. Check them out. They have laundry detergent that is produced by us, toothpaste, toothbrushes, razors, deodorant, liniment or balm for your muscles and so forth, toilet paper, and it's growing because whatever we're going to be doing, they're going to be getting it and they're going to be selling it. So check them out. WeBuyBlack.com. The 5th annual and the 11th annual Pan-African Day of Solidarity, Sankofa and Solidarity, and the 5th annual Pan-African Symposium, September 8th and 9th in Baltimore. On September 9th will be the symposium, and the guest speakers are Mama Bayina Bello and Mama Patricia Newton and Mama Vera Nobles. And, of course, the Saturday, which is the day of Sankofa or Solidarity, check that out in Baltimore. Y'all be getting more details on that as that comes up. Africa for the Africans. I'm going to be, hopefully I'll have Brother Bomanti Tayumbe on maybe Monday next week. Hopefully we're trying to work it out with his schedule so we can talk about his recent trip, taking like 35 of us to Ghana and how it all went. But you can check it out because it is already online. You can call Brother Bomanti Tayumbe at 404-931-9429, 404-931-9429. But you can check out the photos, facebook.com/ Bomanti, B-O-M-A-N-I. Or you can check out the videos from the recent trip to Ghana at youtube.com/ Bomanti 2007. Africa for the Africans. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore. Black Dot. There is light in the Black Dot. 6984 Main Street in Lithonia. Also, 404-519-8107. If you've seen a brother or sister with those red, black, and green shoes in various styles, I love the Nat Turner's. That's my preference. They do have a new one that I'm probably also going to get. I pretty much got all the others. And check them out. They're at the Black Dot Bookstore, Brother Ankh, and, of course, Brother Ajamu, are the owner-operators of Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore there in Lithonia. Give them a call, 404-519-8107. See, they have your size, and you could be walking proudly this weekend, sporting the RBG for shizzle. Oh, shizzle, my little dizzle nizzle. We want to I want to talk today about what is our goal? What is our end game? You know, I've talked numerous times about language, because people always say how important language is. You know, language is, words are very important. And you know, people say that all the time, how important words are. And even though that may be the case, we still use words that, because when you say a word, you know, it conjures up an image and a meaning. I understood the power of words many, many years ago. I used to tell the students that I worked with, you know, that I would say to them, close your eyes and you know, and I would give them a word, and I would say to them, whose face did you put on that word? You know, I would say words like welfare, thug, drug addict, drug dealer, no fit father, no fit mother, gangster. And I would say to them, be honest, whose face did you put on that word? And then they would say, us. And of course, they didn't want to say us, but they understood that that's whose face they had to put on that word. Because when you look at this society, isn't that who, when you say those words, isn't that whose image is conjured up? That's why I'm saying words are powerful. This is not our language. In fact, in the ASCAC, the Association for the Study of Classical African Civilizations, they have a book called The Preliminary Challenge, and there's a chapter in there called the chapter's titled, Can You Liberate Yourself in Someone Else's Language? That's why I love my dear friend Dr. Mamma Ani's book, Urugu, which I consider to be the Bible. I consider it a must-read. In fact, when I read it, I had to really read it and reread it. And in fact, I've read the piece on religion numerous times. But it is a clear understanding. In fact, Urugu is subtitled "A African-Centered Critique of European Cultural Thought and Behavior," examining Caucasians, looking at what they said about themselves and what they said about others, a clear example of dissecting and deconstructing Caucasians as opposed to them always doing it or us doing it to ourselves in response to the racism and the ill treatment that we constantly experience, and trying to rationalize that. I got a caller here. I'm going to take this caller and see what's on the caller. Good morning, caller.
Hey, how you doing, Brother Ocean?
I'm doing fine, dear brother. How are you?
I'm still learning, man.
Aren't we all?
Hey, look here, Brother Ocean.
Yes.
Is any way I can get that line up of you put on, that you always announcing all them shows?
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, you say it so fast, and I'm 60 years old. Is any way you can text it to me or email it to me, man?
Okay,
give me a printout or something. Email it to me.
I can do that for you, dear brother. Listen, you can give me a call at 414-324-5796.
Repeat that again. 414.
Is your pen working? Ain't that a trip? There's always not one to be found. But okay, you ready? 414-324-324.
57 96 96.
Yep.
All right, my brother.
All right.
Plus, you got my number right now.
Right.
Because I call you. But,
right.
Well, look here, Brother Oshie.
Yes.
You don't hit so many subjects in the last about 10 minutes. Okay? And first, one thing I like to commend our people is the white man ain't going to tell us, but this situation here, Starbucks announced that they closed. Starbucks announced that they closed 150 stores because of lack of people spending money. And I contribute it to our people, man, that we stopped going there. They ain't going to tell us the reason why. So we are making a difference, man, whether we don't need the enemy to give us validation. But I think the real soldiers are waking up.
Uh-huh.
We moving like stealth now, man. We moving like stealth.
Well,
now,
let me just say this.
Like a hologram.
Let me say this about that. If Starbucks is closing a number of stores because of the situation that happened, and the fact that they close all Starbucks, not all Starbucks, but they close all of the stores, not the ones that might be in a lobby or in a mall, a strip mall. They didn't close those, but they close all standalone brick and mortar stores. They close those to have some training on that one day last month on the 29th, Tuesday the 29th. And I hope that because they did that, that many people went to an American African owned and operated coffee house. And
right.
they found them to be just as good as Starbucks, and that's where they're now going. I would hope that would be the case. I would like to see that, you know. But if Starbucks is closing all of these stores because of that, you know, hey, they brought it on themselves.
Yes, sir. And that's the way we get our liberation, man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, one by one, you hold our money, hold them presidents, and spend it on our folks, man. That's the number one way we can shut these folks down and let them know. Yeah. They time up. We ain't celebrating none of their holidays. I wish I could get these Negro peons on daylight of 4 next month, 2 weeks from now, not to even celebrate their holidays. It should have been celebrating Juneteenth this weekend.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But getting back to your situation about words. See, words is sound that somebody emit out of them is either going to be positive or negative. And so when you made that illustration of them words that you gave your student, it was all on the connotation of what they saw on television with this media thing. They got something called, Operation Mockingbird. I.e., like with this media, when all these media, television and radio, some radio start repeating the same thing, that negative connotation of the African people, and then we are so gullible. Some of us, I ain't going to say all, I don't want to put all in categories, but some of us that just eat up everything the white man say.
Wes, it's only because they control the narrative. They control information. Everything that we hear, we see, and so forth, they are in control. That's why you have to be on guard 24/7, 365, because you're constantly being bombarded with images and notions of you being inferior and you being all of those ugly words that I've stated earlier. And that's why it's important. But see, those who are conscious can deal with that. Those who are not succumb to it. They fall victim to it. They blame themselves. They blame each other. They hate us because they hate themselves because they've been trained to, you see. So, you know...
Yeah.
What I'm trying to do every Monday,
Wednesday,
sure, go ahead. What's the other point?
One more point is, in my 60 years of existence, man, I've been doing research, like I said, and like everything they done told us been a damn lie. I almost said, almost asked some exorcists on it.
Well,
and so I researched everything that these devils that come out of their mouth, especially pertaining to us, and everything has been a lie. So
yeah.
I flipped the script on everything. If they tell me,
if they tell you that the sky is blue, you say, no, it's green, right? I'm with you. I reject everything Caucasians put forth. I reject it. That's where I am. I don't hate anybody. I hate no one. I love humanity. I recognize humanity sprung from an African source. But let me tell you what I do hate, Wes. I hate a system that was created by Europeans, by Caucasians, by whites, giving themselves the top position with everybody else at a lower position, with us at the lowest position. And it is a global situation because everywhere in the world, African people are despised, denigrated, demeaned, degraded, and hated. People around the world now treat us with such disrespect. And then, you know, then of course now because of Trump and the Trump mentality, which is, of course, has never gone away, has always been here, it's just been emboldened by him. People can speak out more freely, they feel. They can act in such a way that, you know, openly defacing, talking about, taking the hijab off of sisters who are Muslim, you know, putting out information for Latinos to go back. That's why there's no real, there's an uproar about this immigration piece of separating children and talking about, just like Elijah Cummings was on TV yesterday.
Yeah, you know, that fake crime, man.
Crying and so forth.
Bill. Yeah. Bad, man.
And, you know, where's the damn tears for us? I'm not saying that you should not.
That bill, man, fought it $56.98 to them, put the police to make up a hate crime in 10 years, man.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, you like our people don't see that, man.
Yeah.
They don't even check the voting record of these dead devils, man.
Yeah, so I mean, you know,
and I'm sick of them, man.
You sick of them too, huh? I know I am.
Yes, sir.
But I've never had any faith really in the electoral process of this country because I've grown through my understanding and through listening to our scholars and our historians, and I put emphasis on our O-U-R. Because I ain't talking about...
Another one I'm real sick of, too, is that damn John Lewis, man. I saw him the other day at some kind of rally with some white folk crying for them, man, and he signed that bill, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all of those folks, you know, should be out, and some very progressive sisters and brothers should be in. But what happens is once you get in, it is a system where... You know, you do succumb, you do capitulate to the so-called powers that be. Now, on a state level, maybe on a local level, you may stand strong and tall, like my good sister in Wisconsin, Sister Lena Taylor, or my real good brother in state legislature in Nebraska, Brother Ernie Chambers. You need to check him out. I mean,
I saw him, man.
Yeah.
I think I saw him when he made a speech.
Yeah, yeah. Ernie Chambers is a strong brother for the constituency, and you know, he's. I hate to use the term he speaks truth to power because that's a foul term. I don't like that. But he speaks truth. Let me just put it that way because, I love brothers and sisters that speak truth regardless of the consequences. They're going to say what it is, even if it hurts Negroes as well as makes Caucasians uneasy and queasy. You know, speak truth. That's how I am. I don't give a damn. In fact, you know, we don't cuss on the program. In fact, we came up with that acronym, it probably is pretty old, sugar, honey, iced tea. You know, I always say a cracker can't tell me sugar, honey, iced tea, and I mean it. They can't say nothing. In fact, I don't debate with Caucasians. They've done what they've done. There is no damn debate. In fact, the only discussion, I don't even want to debate with us. There's no damn debate. The only discussion we should be having amongst each other is how can we be free, self-determining, liberated, and sovereign as African people, not here in America because that'll never happen, but globally and particularly on the African continent. That's the discussion we need to be having amongst ourselves.
So, I agree, bro.
All right, my
but
dear brother.
I'm going to mute myself, man. Let somebody else talk, man.
All right, Wes.
I love this talk. I'm open up mind opening experience, man.
Right on. And, I appreciate you listening.
You got my number. I just call you
later
on, and you can give me the information. Or text give me, to
so,
me
so give me a call, okay?
All right.
All right, Wes. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you, too. Peace. You know, I tell you. I'm trying to do the best I can with what I got. That's an old saying here. And I'm trying my best to make sure I could stay on the air and disseminate this information. You're talking about words. Yesterday, of course, was Juneteenth Day. And if you've ever heard me, and if you listen to the program and you hear the beginning of the program, you hear me say unequivocally, undeniably, that we were not slaves. I hate the word slave. Slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. We've never submitted. We fought on the continent. We fought through the Middle Passage, which, of course, is the travel from Africa to this hemisphere over the Atlantic Ocean. We fought there. We fought in this hemisphere. There's over 400 recorded revolts of our people fighting, trying to get free. So we were not slaves, because slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. But I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because we have submitted our will to drugs, to vice, to hate, to self-hatred. We've submitted. We were not slaves. And so yesterday, of course, being Juneteenth Day, that word was every damn where. The slaves, the slaves, the slaves, the slaves. I hate that word, because we were not slaves. Because if I said, close your eyes, and I put that word there, whose face you gonna put on that word? Whose face? The slaves. My good friend and brother LaRue Ned, whose book, Why We Shouldn't Call Our Ancestors Slaves, his work is pointed, need to be read and discussed consistently, because we were not. We were not. In fact, next year, Juneteenth Day, what would be great for true liberation on Juneteenth Day, because one of the things I've always had a problem, and I mentioned this on Monday, that I have a problem with, is that when I learned about the Juneteenth Day celebration, because in Milwaukee, and they had it yesterday, I know it rained terribly, but they still had it, and God bless, I love my brothers and sisters in the Bruce City in Kilwaukee. But they did have the Juneteenth Day celebration. We've always celebrated Juneteenth on June 19th, that particular day, you know. But, you know, when they talk about, you know, our captivity, they use that word to describe us, the slaves. And one brother said, well, you know, that's semantics. It is deeper than that, dear brothers and sisters. It is deeper than that. You know, and so to me, it would be great that next year, a movement across this country to celebrate Juneteenth Day and to declare us as Africans. We are not slaves. We're not black. We're Africans. That is the real liberation. Because, like I said, the problem I have is that in January 1st of 1863, through the Emancipation Proclamation, which is really ain't worth the paper it's printed on, but our people waited in churches and in wherever they could huddle for that time, for when the clock struck 12, we were supposed to be physically no longer in bondage, physically no longer a captive, physically no longer in servitude. And we celebrate that. That's why brothers and sisters go to church on New Year's Jubilee. That was the celebration. 2.5 years later, 2.5 years later, General Granger goes down into Texas, Galveston area, whatever it was, down into Texas, because they got 2.5 more years of work out of our people. 2.5 more years of labor, of forced labor, of beatings, rape, killings, which has not abated because they're still doing it. But 2.5 more years, and then we celebrate, finally, that we are all, we've all been informed. Now we celebrate So, I mean, I had mixed, I've always had mixed feelings, but Juneteenth Day can be a catalyst for real liberation of our people if we say on that day we are truly going to be liberated. We will no longer call ourselves slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? A captive want to get free. We were captives. We were not slaves. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. We always resisted. We always fought. We still fight today. We're not slaves. Because if I say that word and you put our image in your damn mind, they got us. It's more than semantics, y'all. It's deeper. This program is about what, dear brothers and sisters? How do I, if you listen to this program, how do I end this program? With the words of Stephen Biko, the most potent weapon. Potent means strong. The strongest weapon in the hands of these crackers is our minds. Television, radio, print. Constantly bombarding us with images and notions is our minds. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. So when you hear the word, you repulse, you reject. You dismiss. That is not us. We were captives. They are the colonizers. They're not masters, our colonial masters. When I was in Ghana, I heard the brother giving a tour, and I know he got to give the damn tour for the benefit of these crackers when they come to, Elmina Dungeon, Castle. Or Cape Coast Castle. You know, damn castle. If I say the word castle, what image do you conjure up if I say the word castle? It's shown a hell ain't Gory Island. It's shown a hell ain't Cape Coast Dungeon or Elmina Dungeon. It's Walt Disney. Or some of those other European castles. They're not castles. See, that's what I'm saying to us. The words and the verbiage, we must change that. Because what is important for us is to put words in a proper context. I don't know. I think in my 4 years of this radio broadcast, or going on 4 years, I've done this numerous times. And I will continue to do it because it's important that we understand the power of words. Oh, fathead, no-neck Roland Martin said, words have meaning, words have power. And his butt constantly using the word slave. Freeing the slaves, the slaves, the slaves. Well, damn it, if you say that, then understand what you're saying. Understand the imprint of that. Understanding the image of that. But see, he ain't African, he black. See? That's the thing about some of these folks. They don't want to be African. They just want to be black, like Stephen A. Smith or Steve Harvey or some of those other Negroes, people in politics. They don't advocate on behalf of Africa and Africans here in this country and abroad and throughout the diaspora. They're black. Some of them don't want to be white, but they don't understand how them wanting to be black is its import of being white. So then what should our ultimate goal be? What should be the final outcome? What should be the end game for us as a people? The question is asked, what is the ultimate goal of our struggle? Integration? Understand, when you integrate something, you're taking something and another something and putting it together. So obviously for us, it can't be integration because we've been constantly rejected and, of course, felt inferior. So you're not going to take something that's inferior and put it into something that's supposedly superior, okay? So integration is not even a question. To integrate means to go into, and obviously because of the constant rejection, so we could not properly integrate. How about assimilate? We can't properly assimilate because we are constantly once again being rejected. Let me get a caller here. 646, good morning.
What's happening, Brother O.C.? The ultimate goal should be is to get the hell away from the Yorugu as quick and as fast as possible.
Ashe.
That should be the ultimate goal.
Ashe.
And in the process, put a couple of South African neckties on them. And then that would be even better. But listen, O.C., you had me sitting there laughing when you was talking to Brother West. You know, as you could see, all these so-called Negro leaders are going down to Texas to protest the daddy doing what he do best, capture people and place them in uncompromising positions. You know what I mean? And now we got to go and support, supposedly, a Baba Louie who never support us, who never come out and protest against the mistreatment of African people. I say personally, Ethel.
Well, let me say this to you.
I don't care about them.
Jay, let me say this to you, and I agree with you. There's been some protests back in Milwaukee where we were trying to coalesce with the Latino groups, you know? And if it benefits them, just like when affirmative action was created by us through our efforts of struggle, of demonstrating, of going into courts and so forth, and all these other folks rode our coattails in the benefit of that. And yet, you know, want to make it like, you know, they, you know, want to make it like, they'd help do it. They didn't help do a damn thing.
They ain't do a damn thing to help African people.
No.
And they ain't gonna do nothing to help African people. They in Los Angeles killing black
That's
folks
right.
left and right.
That's right.
The gentrified neighborhoods
exactly.
on their side. I don't care nothing in regards to what's happening to them. Because all it is doing is showing the world the Yorugu for who and what he is. And hopefully it will wake our people up to see what was done to us.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't get an idea on a small scale and a small level of how inhumane this no good filthy Yorugu is, he's showing it to you right now.
That's right.
And if you still don't get it, then I say to you, the hell with you.
Well, you know, let me say this once again. What I'm advocating and what I'm ultimately going to be doing over the many years before I get up out of here, because I'm getting up out of here, is constantly saying to us what we should do, whether we want to believe it or not. And I think and I know that the majority of our people will not, because we've been whitewashed. We've been brainwashed. Just like Dr. Jerome Fox's book, We're Addicted to White.
Addicted.
We're addicted
like
to white.
Crackhead.
Yep, like a crackhead. Just like folks was addicted to that white powder, cocaine.
That's it.
We're addicted to Caucasian people. That my good friend, Brother Tay Jumala Oluboni, one of the master storytellers and really one of a multi-genius. This brother's just phenomenal. Love him, love him to death. He said, you should stay away from everything white. White bread, white sugar, white flour, white people. All of it's bad.
Listen,
it's all bleach. Yes.
Listen, my old lady called me last night, upsetting my nerves, telling me about some white woman crying on TV about what's happening to these damn Mexicans. It's all over the internet, this damn Rachel Maddow
Oh, Rachel Maddow.
I told her, why couldn't you call me and interrupt what I was doing with some good news or something of value? Why? You know you just calling me to get on my nerves. I know this is what you're doing, but I'm going to play along with it because I know the weekend is coming. So I got to act right.
That's right.
You know,
that's
Wednesday.
Right, Jay.
And Thursday.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean?
That's right.
And I mean, I told her the nerve of you to call me up telling me, did you see this damn filthy, stinking LGBT gay mafia member of Urugu crying over some damn Mexican? Do you really think I care? Do you understand that, you know, I get upset when black people don't put into the narrative, well, this is just the history and the behavior of the devil. This is what he's done to my people. I'm just waiting for one person to say it.
I wish they would put this whole thing in context, but I know they will not. They're not doing it in Congress. They're not doing it in the halls of academia. They're doing it on a grassroots level with us, and you see it on Facebook and so forth, saying that, what you talking about? This is who you are. This is what you've done. You did this to us? You took the Native American children away? Now. You know, I know you've interned the Asian people during the Second World War. I'm not sure if you took their children away, but I don't give a damn. But let's be real. You interned them. You put them in concentration camp. You put them in prison. You didn't do that to the Germans. There was a whole lot of damn Germans living here. You never once thought, because I'm from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And Wisconsin has a bunch of, I was going to say a shitload. Oh, I did say that. My bad. Excuse me. A bunch of Germans and Poles. In fact, that's why Wisconsin is one of the worst places for us to be because of Germans and Poles. And because Germans happen to be, let me finish this point, Jay, because Germans happen to be the most adamant races on the damn planet who believe that they will never be defeated. Of course, they have been, but that's their mindset. You see? So go ahead,
and
Jay.
And you got a right to have that mindset. I couldn't be mad at him. I just like to know this, Oshi. What is this country? Isn't this country a white man's country?
Yes, it is. It was created by them for them. They took this. They took this country.
And don't you have a white man? And don't you have, as a white man, the right to do what you gonna do in regards to how you gonna treat your property?
I mean, if it is theirs, and the cliche of possession is 9/10 of the law, they have possession. So regardless of what the indigenous people say, regardless of what we say, they have the possession, and they dictate, they put the narrative out, okay? They tell you what's going on. So, yes, they are in control. And this was not created as some kind of multi-ethnic, multi-racial experiment, okay? This was created for their benefit, for their prosperity.
Holla. That's all I can say. Holla. Okay. Beat the truth.
Well, that's what I do, Jay.
The bottom line is,
Jay, that's what I do. And let me say this, Jay, let me say this. I'm not giving you my opinion on this stuff, okay?
I don't give you my opinion because if I gave
you my opinion, I couldn't be on this program because I'd be cussing like you wouldn't damn it believe.
Hey, it's right. It's the truth of the matter. It's historical.
Yes.
There's data to prove it. There's every type of necessary proof to say that it is a fact, from verbal to visual.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is, this is a white man's country.
Yeah.
And as the white man has the right to do what he do. You think, as the Negro, that you have a say-so because you give a vote that means nothing. You give a vote to people who constantly stab you in the back and kick you in the behind.
Yeah.
But you get that vote. Now, like I said, where you at right now, they got a niggas that's talking about becoming the governor. She's met with everybody other than black. You had a Negro
I don't think Stacey Abrams has a chance. I agree with you. I don't care if she wins or not, because number one, you're right, she has
it. She's a big up boy.
Yeah, you're right.
But the point is, you had Obama in office for 8 years, and when I say this to the listening audience, please be clear on what I'm saying. What did Obama do specifically for black people? Now, the thing that they're going to say is brother's keeper. My question to you is, where's brother keeper at today? Where's brother's keeper at today? Is it functioning? Is it doing anything to help black men or black women? Now, brother's keeper, which he gave to us, if I'm not right, wasn't that specifically for men, not black women? So in essence, he didn't do nothing for black people. Am I right or wrong, Oshi?
As far as I'm concerned, I'm in agreement with you.
Did we not put it in its proper order and context? Right. Brother Keeper was for men, and it wasn't anything to encompass women in it. So in essence, he really only supposedly did something for half of the black population.
Let me say this. When he ran, I said, if the election of Barack Hussein Obama, there's a incremental, small measure of advantage for us, or betterment for us, then yes, electing him was the right thing to do. There's less of us incarcerated. There's less of us who suffer economically. There's less of us who poor education and health care and so forth and so on. If by him being elected, that the indicators are show there is some small measure of improvement, then yes, but that wasn't the case. In fact, during Barack Obama's tenure, more of us were killed by the authorities. More of us were in prison. Our economic levels were lower. I mean, no, you're right. And there was nothing. Okay, granted, he gave health care. He provided health care for the masses that they could take advantage of. And you're right about my brother's keeper in that particular program. And where is it today? If somebody out there is listening or know somebody that has done something within that program and the program is still viable, it is still happening, where is it at? What is it doing? Whether it's in your location or your state or nationally, what's happening with it? My contention, nothing. Because really, Barack Obama did what every other person, be it male or female, be it Caucasian, African, Hispanic, Latino, whatever, will do in that position. That position is to maintain and sustain the privilege that Caucasians have created for themselves. It is not to radically change this country. It is to continue with the illusion of inclusion while they continue to give you a damn beat down. So that's
Thank
what the
you,
deal
brother,
is.
Oshi.
All right, dear brother. Jay.
Hey, Oshi, let me say this to you. As we move forward into sovereignty, we have to figure out who are our friends and who are our enemies.
Yes.
And what we're going to do to hold them accountable.
I agree.
What we're going to do to make it so that we have some semblance of freedom and liberation in this country that will give nothing more in essence than a loving spirit to African people. We as African people have to figure out how we're going to move forward and what direction we're going to move forward in that will hold these people accountable. You can no longer allow this to Urugu to not be held accountable for his actions towards African people. We're not looking to hold him accountable for his actions towards anyone else, because basically I'm at the point I don't give a damn about no one else. All I care about is African people and those that are from other nationalities that identify themselves as African and that are willing to stand up and fight for the liberation of their African self. If you're not down with that, I don't care.
That's right.
Because, you know, the sadness in all of this, Oshie, is that this Urugu constantly, continuously show you who he is and what he thinks of you.
That's
he's
right.
done it to the Puerto Ricans. He's now doing it to the other Babalouis.
Right.
And mind you, we're not even talking about the other Caribbean islands that suffered through the disaster that they don't even discuss or talk about.
Right.
And all we do is talk about what we, this Negro peen, could do to help and assist others in their pain and suffering, but won't do a damn thing to help and assist us in our pain and suffering. So I say, as I leave you, brother, to hell with them.
All right, Jay. Have a good one, brother. Hotep. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're going to take a break. We're going to be right back, and we're going to finish up what we're discussing about what is our ultimate goal of our struggle.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Please, Mr. Groove, won't you come back home? Won't you come back? Please, won't you come back? Won't you come back? Please, won't you come back? Hey.
Thank you. probably even say, hey.
To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Mr. Groove. You know, I like to play some funky stuff every now and then. Love instrumentals. Mr. Groove, One Way. The other day I played Earth, Wind, and Fire, Power. And the day before that, I don't know, man. I love them. You're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And we're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Other programs here on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8 p.m. Right after that is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. And then Tuesdays from 8 to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. On Wednesdays from 8 to 10, Revive with Sister PLC. And then on Fridays at 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with host Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And then Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore. And then Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's Sister PLC, Revive. And then 7 p.m. on Sunday, 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Let us get back to what the ultimate goal of our struggle should be. I just try to mention integration and assimilation and all that other kind of stuff, and it ain't happening. It's not going to happen. You know, they said we were citizens through the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment. The 13th ended in enslavement. Of course, we all know that there's a provision in that amendment that says except for that if you're in prison. And, of course, they used that right after our enslavement as a vagrancy law. And then those who were in prison were put into work camps. There were brothers put into work camps and sold out to mines and railroads and all kind of stuff and worked till they died. Worked till they died. You walking down the damn road and the so-called authority, a sheriff or whatever said that you were a vagrant, that you, where you supposed, where you at, where you supposed to be, boy? I'm just, well, come on, go and put you in, and then next you know you're in a work camp. There's a documentary, Slavery by Another Name. Check it out. Go to YouTube and check it out. Slavery by another name, integration. Never happened. Integration, assimilation, never happened. Didn't want it to happen because it ain't happened and it ain't gonna happen. Liberation. The ultimate goal of our struggle should be for us to be liberated. It means to be apart from, to get away from. Liberation. To be liberated. Now, of course, it's very hard for us because of the indoctrination process that we have gone through. The constant beat down that we have experienced into our minds of what this country is supposed to be like, and all the things that it says it's supposed to be, and our contribution to it, and so forth. Well, I ain't leaving here. My people, we died. I shed blood here. We helped build the White House. I ain't going no, shoot. I ain't going no damn Africa. I ain't no African. Shoot, I'm going to be here. This is the place. You know, see, we're scared of that. You know, we're scared of liberation. We're scared of this real ultimate struggle for us as a people. And that's intended. Fear. One of the main things they put into us was fear. That's why many of the so-called work farms, plantations, that's what I'm saying. Even when you hear that word, plantation, like when I was in Ghana, instead of going to a cocoa plantation, I'm like, I don't want to hear plantation. Because in my mind, and I, damn it, be honest, in your mind, when you hear the word plantation, what do you think? Exactly. So, that's why I'm saying the verbiage has to be, we have to be in control. We have to say for what it truly is. Liberation, self-determination, sovereignty. But it's going to be very difficult because the vice grip that these Caucasians have on our minds, the imposed boundaries that they have placed upon us to make us think and behave a certain way that they want, that is safe for them, that is good for them, that keeps us trying to grab at their stuff, at their goals, at their, you know, Bobby Wright, you know I love Dr. Bobby Wright. In his brilliant essay, Psychopathic Racial Personality, he says the Caucasian, and they're dealing with us, they are psychopaths. At the beginning of the essay, he talks about the bull and the bullfighter. The Caucasian is the bullfighter. We are the bull. We keep charging at his institutions of democracy, capitalism, their educational institutions, all these things. And the movement of the cape is those institutions we keep charging at and trying to get inclusion of. And every time we charge at it, he moves the cape and he begins to stab us. And then it becomes the moment of truth. And for many times, the moment of truth comes, it's perilous. We're almost at the brink of death. That's a damn good, deep analogy, and is where we are even to this day. We keep charging at these institutions, trying to make them ours. They will never be ours. They will always be in control no matter what their numbers. It's not about majority, minority BS, or they got the numbers. It will always. When they were in South Africa, they were never a numerical majority. They're in Israel, they're not a numerical majority. Well, they probably are now because of what they have done to the Palestinians. And that's why the United States left the Security Council. Not the Security, well, one of them damn councils, because of people jumping on Israel, and rightfully so. American citizenship, should that be our ultimate goal? American citizenship? Once again, the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment. The 13th Amendment ended slavery, the 14th citizenship, and the 15th right to vote. And all three of them ain't about a damn thing. Now, how, you know, let me go to the right to vote piece before I get back to the citizenship piece. Still to this day, how they maneuver and manipulate and gerrymander and all these other things these crackers are constantly doing to manipulate the vote. That's not showing how powerful the damn vote. The vote ain't powerful in a system of corruption. The vote will never be powerful in a system of corruption because it can be manipulated and undermined and moot. American citizenship. My good friend, 602, good afternoon. 602, good afternoon.
Yes, Brother Oshie, how you doing? Brother Marcus.
Brother Marcus, I'm doing fine. You see here, I'm kind of going off a little bit here. Appreciate your call as always.
Yeah, yeah, my brother. Well, you know, you got to go out sometime, you know, because this is a nut house, you know what I'm
That's
saying?
Right. So yeah, and you're right.
You got to vent sometime.
That's
I mean,
right.
It's amazing that our people still, you know, have any semblance of sanity under this, living under these conditions, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know. But as you say, you was talking about language. And I remember growing up in Jamaica, you know, the English colony, they used to judge you based on how well you speak English. They used to base your intelligence on how well you speak English. So if we spoke patois, you know, patois is a form of broken English, they would say, oh, this guy, he ain't intelligent, he's a dummy. Yeah, you know, oh, you don't speak the Queen's English. But they say, look, I am not an Englishman. Do I look like somebody who come from England, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they still have that mentality, you know, they, you know, oh, you speak proper English, you know, oh, you're so intelligent. And some of the biggest fools down there, you know, are like that because they are black Englishmen, you know, and you have the same thing in Spanish colonies, black Spaniards, you know, black
right.
Frenchmen, black Portuguese. And they have more allegiance to Europe than they have to Africa. So I mean, it's crazy, man, how these people have just reversed our psychology totally. You know, you know, it's the same thing in Africa. You know, the biggest thing. Oh, I go to Europe to study. I went to Oxford. I went to this, you know, and I'm like, these people here, something is really, really wrong with them, you know. But that is white psychology.
That's
think.
Right.
White psychology, you know, and white supremacy have played a terrible joke on the mind of our people.
Yes, it has.
But we have to keep on keeping on. Eh? You know, we just have to, just, as Brother Paul said, you got to launch out on them, you know, and attack,
yes.
You know. I just attack them, I tell you. And them church folk, my brother, oh, man, it's that's another thing in Africa.
Yeah.
That got a hole on our people.
It got a serious hole in our people. When I visited the continent and seen posters of Caucasian Jesus and I went to a couple of churches, and, man, it's sad.
They got one of the largest statues of Jesus in Nigeria.
Yeah.
One of the largest statues of Jesus is in Nigeria. No wonder Nigeria in that condition, you know what I'm saying?
They got one of the largest. They got one of the largest basilicas in Cote d'Ivoire.
Wow.
Bigger than anything in Europe.
Man.
Yeah.
You know, It's sad.
It
is shocking, my brother. It is depressing sometimes, but we just got to keep chipping away. We just got to keep chipping away because it's like a drip of water. A drip of water will cut through granite over time. We just got to keep putting our thing out and unrelenting, you know. No matter how dismal it look, we just got to keep keeping on because we don't have no choice.
Yeah.
You know, we have no choice, you know.
I hear
but
you.
Anyway, I continue listening.
All right, dear brother.
Thank you
so much. Thank you, Brother Marcus. Appreciate
right.
you. Thank you.
All right.
American citizenship, if we were truly American citizens, with all the things that are afforded therein, thereof, whatever, that we shouldn't complain about anything. We're American citizens. We have every right as any other American citizen to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness and all that other BS. Is that our ultimate goal? To become true American citizens and have our citizenship respected and recognized, and that we can go anywhere, do anything. We have just as much right to do whatever as any other, quote, American citizen. Because you know there are many people who have come here just like the Mexicans who are crossing the border, but some people who have immigrated here all the time from all around the world. And they take the citizenship test, and then they take the oath of citizenship, and they sing the praise of the United States like all these other Caucasians, the greatest country in the world. The greatest country in, as some Caucasians like to put it, the greatest country in the history of the world. I take issue with all of that. I take issue with anything being great when its existence is theft, when its existence is murder, when its existence is all the evil that can be heaped upon people by one people against another. I take great issue with it being great. That's why when Trump said, make America great again, it never was great, never will be great. It can't be great. Unless, of course, you use the same analogy or mindset that Minister Louis Farrakhan made when he talked about Adolf Hitler being wickedly great. Oh, they crackers lost their damn mind, and them European Jews lost their damn mind. But one thing about Germany, as opposed to this country, in Germany, you can't, even though he was a German, but the European Jews have made it such that you can't name your kid Adolf Hitler. There are no buildings. There's nothing. Almost like if they, and here they should be ashamed of what that Adolf Hitler has done and his name and so forth is erased. You can't even speak it. But yet all of the evil that this country has done is consistently glorified. It's consistently remembered. We must remember our great Confederate soldiers who fought, you know, in the Confederacy for the statues. And multiple numbers of these statues were erected, not right after the Civil War, but in the 30s and 40s because of integration. And once again, to show you folks, you ain't American citizens. The landmark decision of the Dred Scott of 1857. The Chief Justice Tandy said that whites, that blacks have no rights that whites were bound to respect. That we as African people have no rights in this country that Caucasians are bound to respect. We are not citizens and never made to be citizens or jury. Abraham Lincoln said there is a superior position and an inferior position. I, as much as any man, is having the superior position assigned to the white race. No. American citizenship? No. What is our ultimate goal? Our ultimate struggle? Our own nation? A nation within a nation? You mean to tell me you would try to create something here in this country, like we always talk about the five states, North Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, and Mississippi. Why not Florida? Why not Louisiana? Who knows? Whatever. The Republic of New Africa. These five states that we're going to say to this country, we want these five states to be sovereign. Take these five states and we will be sovereign. We will be independent, self-determining in the midst of an open and sworn enemy. Look, as Malcolm said, of all our studies,
history is best qualified to reward our research. Look at the history, my dear brothers and sisters. Look at the history. Look at what, on a small scale of Rosewood, on a small scale of so-called Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, on a small scale of Elaine, Arkansas, on a small scale of Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina, on a small scale of Allentown in California, every one of those places were vamped on the radio program on Al Sharpton. I tell you, man, gosh. As I was listening to it yesterday, it was really starting to get to me because, you know, once again, Juneteenth Day, and once again, constantly saying the slaves, the slaves, the slaves, the slaves. But this one guy got on there and he was talking about how we got to work with the government and working the government. Have we done that? Black Wall Street could have been. No, brother. Don't you understand? The government did that. The local government did that. They did that in conjunction with. Understand this. We cannot and we'll never be able to, because crackers can't even do it. They tried to say, we're going to go up into the Northwest in Oregon, Washington, whatever, Utah, Montana, Wyoming, whatever, and create a sovereign nation of our own. It'll never happen. They can't even do it. You know we can't. There is no place in this country where we could take a group of us and go and has a plot of land and fence it off and territorialize ourselves off and develop a security force to maintain it, create our own water and solar and wind and so forth, and declare ourselves independent, self-sufficient, and sovereign. It can't happen here. Crackers did it. Crackers are doing it. They've done it in Azania. What is called South Africa. In Azania, they done it there. Once majority rule, once Nelson Mandela, who struck a deal, and that's why they're still there, and that's why they're doing it. That's why they control the money, and they control the military. And if you got the money and you got the military, hell, your ass is in control. I don't care how many dark faces you have in high places. That's why still the land is in their control. That's why I love what the brothers are saying in South Africa. No, we're taking it with no compensation. Well, of course, you know, and I don't know if you've seen some of the Facebook posts where you've seen Caucasians arming themselves and so forth, but they've already done that. They did that when Nelson Mandela came into the presidency. There are certain areas in South Africa that only Africans can go in and work for them, and they have to be out. And these areas are controlled by Caucasians, and they're controlled by a military or a security force. They have territorialized themselves off, and they say that we are sovereign in this land. We took this, and we ain't giving it back. We're not going back to England. We're not going back to Holland. We're not going back to Germany. We were born here. This is ours. Malcolm said, because a cat has kittens in an oven, don't make them biscuits. Because we were born here. Doesn't mean that our citizenship, we're American, no. And our black nation, no. It cannot happen here. We cannot create our own nation here. So what is our ultimate goal? Is it freedom, justice, and equality? Well, you can't get freedom, justice, and equality in a corrupt, evil system predicated on European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. You will never have freedom, justice, and equal equality or equal opportunity. Because I've always said, you know, when you see, I never forget seeing this commercial with the Asian dude. Probably, I don't know if you remembered the Asian dude who just got here, you know, probably from Vietnam, you know. He's on a boat with all the, he's in a suit on a boat with all these bikini clad chicks, you know, talking about, I just got over here.
I just got over here. Look at me now. I am successful. You buy my book. I will show you how to be successful too. You buy my book. You know. You know, I understand people, because when I was in Ghana that one time, there was a lottery. I seen the lottery that asked you, you can fill this information out, pay this amount of money. It goes into a lottery. And if your number is up, but you have to have somebody here in America, a relative or a benefactor or somebody here in America, maybe a church institution or whatever. So if you want it, then if you have somebody here, then bam, you could come. You couldn't come if you want. If you didn't have nobody here, then you couldn't ask that. That was my understanding. And rescue me or correct me if I'm wrong. But if you won the lottery, you came here, and then you going about developing your life here in the United States. You know, freedom, justice, and equality, equality of opportunity. You know, because there is equality. There is opportunity. Excuse me. There is opportunity. There's never been and never will be equal opportunity. That's why some people in the opportunity, they do illegal stuff because there's not legal stuff equally for them to take advantage of. So the opportunity to be drug dealers, thugs, gangsters, and so forth is there. The opportunity to be an engineer, to be so forth and so on, may not be there. Because number one, we are job seekers. We are not job givers. And who we seek jobs from can't stand our ass. Have a built-in mindset of anything us is inferior. Anything us is unqualified. Anything us is no good. So freedom, justice, and equality is our goal here? I don't think so. Reparations as a personal check. I know there are some of us who believe in reparations because I do. I also understand and believe that when you are strong, you get reparations. Somebody talked about because of what's going on when the Japanese were interned in the Second World War. Once again, they didn't turn Germans because they call Caucasians, but Japanese are other. They are other. And if you look at the propaganda of that time, how they demonized the Japanese, the caricatures and so forth, and then of course justifying the internment. Ronald Reagan, who I can't stand none of these crackers, but some of them I just have more disdain for than the others, and Ronald Reagan just happens to be one. So, but when Ronald Reagan was president, he signed the reparations for the Japanese who were interned in this country. They got reparations. They got a personal check, you know. And so I would never advocate a personal check. Charles Cutheimer, I just saw a piece on him. He is in the process of dying. He has cancer. It's an inoperable cancer, unfortunately for him. But Charles Cutheimer, I'll never forget, and I've said this on the program many times, had an article that I read many years ago. Sometimes these years are flying. I've been out of the firehouse 12 years. So add the 12 to whatever time I think that might have been. It could have been 30 years ago. Easy. 30 years ago. He said we should give them, meaning us, reparations. We gave them welfare. We gave them affirmative action. We gave them this. Give them reparations because the mindset that they have right now will get that money right back. In fact, it'll be a stimulus package. It'll stimulate the economy. Let's say we give them 40,000 for a family and 20,000 for an individual. So if you got a family, you get 40,000. You're an individual, you just get 20,000. Now, at the time that he said it, and I don't remember if those were the numbers. Let me be real. I don't even remember if he threw numbers out. But let's just say for today's discussion that it's that amount of money. You know, in today's world, that ain't nothing. But the point being is that we could not come together and pull that money together to build institutions to do something for ourselves. Because I do advocate for reparations. But I don't advocate reparations for an individual to get a check. And I understand there's some of us who have been suffering for generation after generation in poverty, on welfare, on assistance of some sort of fashion, or no, or just suffering, period. I understand that. But I believe that the reparations from this country should be in the in a manner of institution building for us, education for us, so we can firmly establish our own. Because if they gave us a check, we'd be giving it right back. I venture to say that amount of money would be back in Caucasians' hands before the year was out. Before the year was out, I venture to say that. I could be wrong, but I'm not, because I look at the spending habits of us right now. We have a caller, 646. Go ahead.
Hey, Elsie, listen, I had to call back when you brought up that no good filthy devil. Lord have mercy. The Sky Daddy, if there is a Sky Daddy, and the Sky Daddy is a Yoruba, he will be welcoming that devil with open arms. That's why I never hope I go and see the Sky Daddy, because of people like old Charles. But I will agree with this. He's right. His analysis about giving us the money and us giving the money right back to them, he's right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like I said, I believe I read that over 30-something years ago, Charles Cuthheimer's editorial. I believe he was with the Washington Post or the New York Times at that time. I'm not sure, it doesn't make any difference. But I just remember distinctively reading about it and saying to myself, damn, I hate him because he's right. Because with the mindset and the mentality that we have, if they just gave us that money. And see, the whole thing of what he was saying was, now, shut the hell up. We done gave you all these. You ain't got a damn thing to say. You ain't got nothing to cry about. And if there is discrimination, you got to prove it. There is no more class action suits. There ain't no more none of that. This is a country built on meritocracy. This is a country of fairness and equality. And if your ass can't measure up, it's your fault. That's what he's saying.
And you know who's the number one just like him? Pat Buchanan.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Them Yoruba's right there are nothing more than pure white nationalists.
Yes, yes.
Learned individuals. Right. You got to give them credit. Yes. Because, Pat Buchanan, to me, is as dangerous as they come. I don't know, in all honesty, who's worse between him, Charles, George Will, and some of the other ones.
All of them.
You know, everybody likes to talk trash about Rush Limbaugh. But Rush Limbaugh is on the level of Pat Buchanan. Pat Buchanan is no joke.
No, he's not.
I mean, Charles Cuthheimer are no joke.
No.
They got a George serious, Will. Serious white nationalist
right.
ideology along with Oliver and Coulter.
Right.
Oh, that Ann Coulter is a real dangerous one. But you know what's crazy about her? She likes black penis.
I know, man. She's J.J. Walker. I just can't picture, man, Jay, that's sick. The look at her ugly, skanky, narrow booty, no having that. And then J.J., ugly-ass J.J. Walker?
Dynamite. I always, when I look at her, I always think about Khalid would go on one of his rants talking about flat. When he said so, I don't remember it. But man, when he used to say it, I always had to laugh and I would think of that.
I know,
because
boy,
that is absolutely outlawing the stick. But she's another dangerous one.
Of course.
Oh man. And you know the thing that makes them so dangerous is they put out material.
And they have a constituency. They have loyal followers, loyal listeners.
They book sales are no joke.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
I mean, you know, and the work that they put out is work that we should be refuting, but it just seems like our intellectuals don't go there. You know what I mean? You got those so-called written literates that we produce, like Slick Talking Michael Eric Dyson, I just can't stand.
Yep. Well, you got Michael Eric Dyson, what's his name with the scarf around his neck now? Cornel West. You have all
no,
these shooters.
No. Cornel and Michael. But you know who the real deal is?
Who that?
You know who the real deal is? Gerald Horn.
Oh, yeah.
Gerald Horn is the real deal. I mean,
I love to listen to him.
The type of narrative that Gerald Horn put out and the type of work that he puts out is no joke. See, he could hang with him.
Yeah.
He'll bust him up. They never get into a debate with people who really got knowledge and wisdom. You know, that's why I always laugh when I hear this clown, Roland Martin, always talking about he want to debate somebody. He's really a lightweight. You know what I mean? You know, he's not clear.
What he does is challenge the right wingers of our people, and he did challenge the alt-right Richard Spence when Trump first won election. And he challenges these neoconservatives, these Negro conservatives. He challenges them. No, he don't challenge nobody African-centered. He couldn't touch Umar Johnson when he was on his program. Okay? So, no, he can't touch the brothers and sisters who are African-centered because he ain't. He's one of those people who love being black, you know, and don't understand that him being black is in service to crackers being white. So, you know, so there that is, man. So you're right.
Well, look, I just wanted to lay that on you right quick, man, because that right there is the real deal.
Yeah.
When you dealing with these, Yorugos, but they no joke, man. You got to really understand what they're about, what they're saying, and what the deal is. So I'll talk to you on Friday.
All right, dear brother. Peace. Hotep. You know, Charles, and so Jay remembers Charles Kottheimer. Like I said, I saw a piece where he is not doing well health-wise, you know. But when I saw that and saw his face, because I could pick his face out. I remember him because, you know, some editorial in your newspaper, they have a person's face along with their byline, you know. And I will never forget reading that article and him saying what he said, you know. The bottom line is that, no, a personal check, never. Well, how about reparations as a fund toward repair of our hell of a cost? Because we have paid a hell of a cost. The Infakani, the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our captivity. What about funds toward repairing that? I would definitely agree with that particular move. The United Nations said that we are owed reparations for what has happened to us. There, you know, John Conyers, who had to leave the Congress, had been putting up H.R. 40, House Bill H.R. 40, for decades, and that was not really a reparations bill. It was a bill to study the effects of the enslavement process or the captivity process on our people. It wasn't even about that, and it never passed. I don't think it ever got out of committee into the floor. It never, and it never will. Because the Caucasian don't give a damn what happened. They don't care that they took our language, that we now speak their language. They don't care that they took our names. We have their names. They don't care that they took our traditions, our religions. We have theirs. All of us, all of this imposed on us. And they make an amendment to make it seem like it was a privilege that we should have it. And it has done us as a people collectively no good. No good as a people. Just because a few of us are in privileged positions, and I know those privileged individuals are happy they are where they are, and they sure in the hell ain't going to say nothing, and sure in the hell ain't going to do nothing that would be contrary or to sacrifice their position. Look at the athletes. Look how pathetic they are. They can end what is happening right now. If all of the dudes in the NBA, in the NFL, and even the conscious brothers in Major League Baseball, with the exception of the, because most of the, there's very few of us in Major League Baseball. Very few. The people who you see look like us are from the Dominican, other islands, other countries. They're not, you know. So we have another caller. We'll take this call. Good afternoon, caller 447.
Good afternoon, brother Ochi.
Ah, my good brother. I am fine, Paul. How are you? How you been, man?
Brother, I've been great, man. You know, I just phoned to say that, you know, we're still listening in to your great show and paying attention, you know, and all the information you're giving, we're taking note, brother. You know, it's absolutely on point.
Oh, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate you guys listening. I appreciate whenever you guys can make a contribution. In fact, I was thinking about doing a program. I'm going to contact you over some things that were happening in Europe, particularly in England, that I would like to you guys to help our listening audience here in the States become comprised of. I can't remember what it is right now, but if it comes to me, because I know I saw something the other day. Well, one of the things is that the UK has never called into question what they have done to the planet. That's one thing, you know, that really, I mean, you're coming off this wedding thing and all this hoopla about this damn wedding, you know, and the fact that it is an American African to some degree. Now, what was funny about that, Brother Paul, I did see a, when she was on, Merkel, when she was on the Disney Channel, she was a reporter for the Disney Channel, and she looked more of like us, you know, and then as she grew older, she looked more like Caucasian, you know, because I'm quite sure, you know, that he would not have married a more African-looking sister. You know what I'm saying? I'm quite sure that the British, quote, royal family would truly object to that. But the fact that she does look more Caucasian and so forth, and that it was okay for her to do so. But there was an article that I read. In fact, I have your email. Let me see if I can send you that that article of the Britain has not, you know, truly come to grips or paid for what they have done. All the stuff they have stole, land, artifacts, and so forth, that we may get into some discussion about. So I'll send that to you, okay?
Well, yeah, anytime. Yeah, give me enough notice in there. Definitely. Be a great show. You know, Brother Jay must get his own show, you know. You got to give Brother Jay his own show,
man. I swear, man.
Seriously.
You know.
Oh, man. That brother, he's fantastic, man. He's fantastic.
Yes, you know? He is. Oh, I love it, man.
He's got so much information to share. He's absolutely on point. Yeah.
Well, you know, just like, too, you know what? Just like, too, Paul, when I threw something out there, because he was on earlier, I threw something out there, and bam, and he hit him and said, I got to call back. I got to give this to Brother Oshie. I was like, okay, man, you're always welcome.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely good. It's brilliant, man. You know, absolutely. The platform you provide and the work you do, it's, you know, for us to spread the message and get the message out there, Brother Oshie.
Yeah.
Because, you know, one thing I realize, which is a little sad in a way, is the just by being able to listen to you brothers on the airwaves and listen to the callers, you get a real feel of how the people are feeling within the society and what they face. And I realize that you don't get that same authenticity from watching YouTube videos or the social media. In actual fact, I'll go as far as to say that you're kind of misled because the narrative is very controlled and you don't realize how controlled it is. You only realize when you listen to your shows and others and the conscious, the so-called, you know, Pan-African or the African-centered type broadcasters, when you hear the real feelings of the people, then you start to understand what they're going through. And it makes me realize how important it is for us to have these converse. It's so important. And I really don't think we realize on the ground how important it is because this narrative is being absolutely controlled and it's working. It's absolutely successful as well.
Yes.
You know, because when I listen to some of the views of some of our people, even so-called conscious people, of how they feel Africans, Americans feel, it's so stereotypical. It's so Eurocentric, and they don't even realize it.
Right.
You know?
Right. I appreciate it, brother. You're right. I appreciate it because
the work you do is so important. Well,
you know, this is my contribution to the struggle for the liberation of African people globally. I believe in us. I don't believe that somehow Caucasians will have an epiphany, some miraculous change of heart and mind to treat humanity in a different and better way that will truly be embracing humanity and allow people to, be successful on their merits. This has been a meritocracy and never will be a meritocracy anywhere in the world where white people are because they can't stand it. In fact, I did a program about a month ago talking about that they will choose if they feel that a marginalized group, us, is gaining some kind of social advantage in some form or fashion, then they will choose instead of having democracy and justice and fairness and righteousness, they'll scrap that. They'll kick that shit to the they'll kick that to the curb and they will choose authoritarianism. They would choose fascism. They would choose all kind of strict measures of governance as opposed to something that was encompassing of other people's feelings and so forth and so on because they don't want it. That is really not in their DNA to be right and to be fair. They're selfish and greedy, and they sure as hell don't want to share, especially with us. They believe that where we are and who we are as Africans should be in a subservient and a position. And that's where they feel we should stay in that position. And I totally disagree.
Absolutely. You know, funny enough, this is how well we're connected. If I tell you I was having a similar conversation about an hour ago, I don't think you're going to believe me. About this so-called totalitarian underbelly.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of the School of Americas? Have you ever heard of that?
The Hall of America?
The School of America.
Oh, the School of America. Yes. Yes, I've heard of the School of Americas.
Where they train.
Right. Yeah.
They train potential dictators.
Yes. Yes. I've heard of the School of America.
There goes your answer. I mean,
yeah.
I years ago I watched a video where they actually showed it was a priest, I think, of some sort,
mm-hmm.
who was concerned that there was this institution where a lot of the dictators which have been placed around the world, around the world, had been trained right there in America.
Right. In fact, the School of America not only is here in this country, but it is I don't know if there's satellites, but other places around the world where they train people to be a dictator, and they'll put that person in the position so the United States can control that government and control that country's resources and exactly. its population. Yes, I've heard of it.
Yes, so your argument is absolutely right. It's absolutely on point. Is that is the underbelly. That I think there's this thing where they talk about democracy is all a front.
Yeah.
In reality, that's what they really want. They want ultimate control
of everything.
And that's what they always needed. Yes, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's personified here in the head. The thinking mechanism, the control mechanism, Brother Franklin has made this openly aware, and he's hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
The Tavistock Institute.
Right.
You look at that institute and the work they've done and the subsidiaries and the branches they have all over the world. They have actually, you know, found their fabric within government, the highest level to the lowest level. And from that position, they control and dictate what goes on around the world.
In the world, it's
about
the
time
world.
That we acknowledge that and wake up to it and deal with it. And we have to deal with it on an international basis.
We have to.
Saying this, but I know.
Right.
We
no,
have
our,
to deal with it on an international basis.
Right, because our struggle is not the United States. Our struggle, even on a continent, our struggle is international. That's where our struggle is. And it must be dealt in that manner. Brother Frank will be back with us next Wednesday, so he hasn't been around a while because I had I was gone for a week, and then I had technical difficulties last week. So he's been gone for a while, but he'll be back next week. So I hope you can get a chance to listen in and call in when Brother Franklin Jones is on next week.
Yeah, definitely.
Because what you're saying is dead on, Brother Paul.
Yeah, we do because when I listen to the arguments and the things we're facing, we are collectively facing the same issues everywhere, and it's not by coincidence that we're facing these issues. There is a plan, and once you recognize and acknowledge that there's a plan, it's for you to develop a strategy to counteract the plan. And you can't do that if you don't realize or you don't connect the dots.
Right.
And the dots are placed all over the place.
It's
not a small picture. It's a grand picture.
That's right.
And so in order to see that picture, you know, you have to connect the dots internationally. Because this is how they work. They don't work on their own. They don't work just in America.
No, you're
right. They work all over the place.
That's right.
Connected. They're absolutely connected, and we need to, you know, work. And this is how they keep us; they keep one step ahead of us again, because they know that we're not thinking on those levels. We become very nationalistic, very tribalistic,
right?
Very, you know, just about our hood. And you know, you can't expect to win if you're going to play in the little league. You have to think bigger than that.
That's right.
And that's the beauty of these platforms. This wasn't possible before, but with the internet, it made it possible.
Exactly. That is tremendous for us to be able to speak to our people globally and deal with this. I think it's tremendous. What is that email address again, Paul?
It's connect the dots.
Connect
global.
The dots. Okay, I got it. And so it's coming your way now, okay? This is the article.
Okay, I'll check that.
Yep, this is the article. And then we'll talk about it next week. I'll send this as well to it's called When Will Britain Face Up to Its Crimes Against Humanity? It's coming from The Guardian. When will Britain face up to against its crimes against humanity? You know, I've been having such deep disdain and disgust about Great Britain. Well, listen, Paul, I gotta run. My time is up.
Yep.
Okay. I appreciate it, man. Let's get together next week. Okay. All right, dear brother.
Stay strong. Big up to Brother Jay. I don't know what's happened to Brother X, but I love them all, and I hope to hear from all of you.
You know it, Paul. Please, peace to you and all the brothers over there, Lone Wolf and everybody across the pond. Bless you, man. We in this program, like we in all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko, the most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for, but they're ours. Brothers and sisters, Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Be with us again on Friday for African Perspectives. Peace, family.